do begin.
Hey, what is up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Social Primate Podcast. Today, my guest is James Seslick. He is the founder of Mooncats, JNC. Overall, a very down-to-earth person, and I appreciate the fact that you stopped by, and you know, we're going to have this conversation.
I'm looking forward to it, man. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here. I don't do many podcasts and stuff because not too many people ask me. So it's always, I'm always down to do this and, just excited to be here.
Normally do a lot of more spaces. Like I see you jumping on a lot of different Twitter spaces. So you're always kind of making moves. I see that. And I think that's one of the things that from the beginning kind of just captured my attention because in the Web3 space, it's really hard sometimes to stay consistent. I'm not a founder or anything, but I'm just somebody who's been in from the outside looking in. And, you know, just fucking doing the flips and the holding and all that stuff. But seeing a founder that's consistent with what they're saying in Web3, dude, it's kind of hard to find. So it's appreciated that somebody like you kind of sticks around and follows through with what's being said.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Web3 has a lot of bad actors. And, you know, it's a space of people that set the expectations high. And so, you know, Mooncast was something. And I remember back when we minted in July, you know, it was a no roadmap. No Discord, good vibes project. And the reason was to kind of keep the expectations low, right? Like there should have been no expectations going into it. So that way when we, you know, are able to deliver what we wanted to deliver, it was sort of like, you know, an over delivery. I just think the expectations have been really high because people expected so much. Like I've been in this space for about 3 years, but you know, I remember 2 years ago projects coming out with crazy roadmaps and all this stuff, and nobody has really delivered on the expectations that everybody had for this space. And not it's not almost that nobody has delivered also. It's just like price appreciation isn't what everybody expected it to be. People thought Bored Apes were going to hit $1 million. Doodles would just keep pumping and everything would just keep going up. Like nobody sort of was going to foresee this expected drop that was like eventually going to happen just because all things, you know, can't just go up forever. So but ultimately, you know, being around in this space for a bit, I've been able to learn a lot and get a feel for the space, get a feel for good actors, bad actors, who puts in that, you know, extra time and effort. And again, I think, you know, like you got to separate floor price from people that actually still do show up in the space and have good intentions. Just being around has shown me, like, I guess there's a lot of people still in this space that do want to progress the space forward and do want to see the best for everybody. So it's just finding those communities and, you know, tapping in with those.
Yeah, I do agree with that because I mean, I've been joining Discords I've been in the space for almost about a year and a half now, maybe 2 years now. So I've joined a lot of servers. You know, you want to get that whitelist, you want to get that spot, like you want to be one of the first ones. So there's always that thrill of, oh, fuck, new server, I got to be there, right? And eventually you kind of see how that builds, right? At least from my perspective, you know, you join this, there's this hype, people are like fucking, grinding to try to get this thing right, like especially like last year people were grinding like, you know, level 15, level fucking 25 on Discord just to get a fucking chance. And the moment that mints out, right, it usually went like the same pattern, like everybody was hyped up and right there's that drop right a little bit after fucking mint happens, a little bit before or after reveal, and you kind of start seeing these patterns. And you know, at that point, if you're looking to make money, you can see that and use that to your advantage. But as somebody who's just trying to join communities and trying to fucking vibe with people, and like you said, figure out what communities you feel are worth your time and effort and all that, it was very hard. And that's why I feel like now with, you know, the projects that lasted through the bear market, these are the ones that are kind of really starting to show like, okay, this is what we did. This is how we build community. And people are kind of trying to take those blueprints and replicate them into whatever we have for the future.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, there's a few projects today that are still alive from the 2021 era. And then there are new projects that are, you know, surfacing that get attention just for being new. But the projects that are old that have stuck around are laying out a blueprint for the rest to follow. And I think, you know, projects like, you know, Pudgy Penguins, projects like even D-Gods, projects, you know, along the nature of that are actually putting forth an effort and have a development team, have a vision, And they lay out groundwork that a lot of other projects and ecosystems follow now. And obviously Yuga Labs being the crown head of that, you know, credits due where credit is due. But I think Yuga today in 2023 lacks a little bit of creativity and innovation in terms of, you know, what it used to be. But they have, you know, so much money, so much potential. They have other side. They have a lot of other things that are way beyond, you know, anything that I could speak on Yuga's behalf. You know, credit's always going to be due where credit's due. I just think the market sentiment in general, right? You always have to keep in mind, like, there's people that get this space, and then there's the overall rest of the population of the planet. Like, most people don't understand NFTs, care about NFTs, give a fuck about Yuga or Yuga's dominance or Yuga's, you know, OG status or any of that, right? It's all only the people in the NFT space that really appreciate that and understand that and really care, to be frank. You know, if you're really going to go out this, you know, in the streets and ask somebody, you know, if they're willing to pay X amount of money for, you know, a JPEG or this and that, they'll most likely say no. And obviously on the surface level, it's far more than just a picture. But like, the general concept of what I'm getting at here is, like, your beginner investor doesn't care about Yuga establishment, right? Like, they just want to get inside of a community and they want to get involved. And then, like, so for them to get involved too, right, we can't shoot at them a $10,000 price tag or something like that, right? Like, they have to wrap their head around what the technology is and why, like, it might even be valued at that to begin with. So I think people, for the most part in this space, are so trivial and, you know, NFT, but like, should step back sometimes and realize, like, you know, NFTs are great and we all want to see the space progress forward, but we should also step back and realize, like, most people don't care about NFTs, and to get them to care, we should make it, you know, not so like echo chamber like of just, you know, constantly, you know, rinsing through the same things. You know, I think that's what slowed down the space for the last 2 years, is again a lot of those empty promises not getting fulfilled, projects looking to other projects that just copied what was working. And that was what this NFT space has become, was like a cycle of metas. And when I say metas, it's like a cycle of what works, you know, for people that don't explain that. Because I think here's the thing too, right? Like, when I say metas, right, me and you get that because we're in Web3. A motherfucker listening to the podcast that doesn't know Web3 is like, what are you talking about metas?
Yeah. Facebook? Exactly. Are you guys talking about Facebook?
Yeah, you guys talking about the meta? Like, yeah, so it's like, yeah. We in Web3 need to step back, because we'll be talking, like, me and you, just like how we're talking on this podcast on a Twitter space, thinking, like, this is how we get more people involved in this space. Somebody is tuning into the space thinking, what? Did they just talk about Facebook meta? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so yeah, they're already lost. You know what I mean? And, like, that's my point here. It's like, we got to go way more simple. People don't care about all this, like, advanced bullshit. That's actually really cool when you tap into the space. We just need to get back to, like, the making the space fun, easy to understand. And, like, that's my opinion of, like, you know, more people, if they think like that, I think it's a more optimistic outlook than, like, trying to get everybody on board with, you know, kind of like what's really, you know, really big and stuff like that. But anyways, off track, it, to my point of that, I'm just saying, like, you know, I think, yeah, obviously the big dogs lay it out, the precedent, you know, nowadays. But, like, honestly, it's like, you don't even need to follow anything, because if you have an idea that's good, it's like, it can work. But ultimately, like, you're going to need to know how to do marketing in this space, like, marketing more than anything, because people will come to me with great art, great utility, great everything. But, like, the most important thing about the NFT space in general, in my personal opinion, would be just your ability to market and get a community behind that. Because, like, the community aspect of NFTs is, like, the most important thing to NFTs that there is. And right. Yeah, so I guess that's how I'd say that.
Yeah. Now, I mean, so of course, you know, like, it's a community, because you need the people behind it to be able to, hey, like, say, like, hey, look, I show the support for this. You know, it's like when you do tweet raids, right? For people who don't understand, it's like when you get your community to retweet, to post about your page or your project and all this stuff, right? Like, you're using the community's power to say, hey, I believe in this project. I want you guys to see it and hopefully believe in it as well. And I feel like a lot of that to me, that's crazy because, you know, again, it's a, you're taking individual people, bringing them together in one project, and you're trying to fucking build a community that feels like family, that feels like you have relationships with people there. And honestly, that's one of the first things that intrigued me into the space, the fact that you can communicate. You know, we already have the internet, but the fact that you bring in all these different people from different backgrounds into one space that truly believe in the art or wherever this project's going to go, that was very fucking cool. But at some point you start seeing that, of course, you know, like you said, there's people that are there for good intentions. They're there for financial intentions, whatever their intentions may be. I'm not trying to shit on anybody, but the idea is that individual behavior changes the moment things start going south, right? Like your fucking project goes to zero. You're like, ah, fuck, I invested $300, $3,000, whatever it was. And now you're, you know, of course you're going to feel like crap. And now you're going to have to, like, you know, just live with the fact that you were holding your bag. And, you know, vice versa, if the project's doing good, you hold and you're doing good. But to me, it was just crazy just seeing how everybody reacted pre-mint and then post-mint, which is before the project mints or releases to the public and after. But that to me was like sometimes a little toxic.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I remember those ages too. It's funny grinding for Discord spots and, you know, just again, how the whole space has shifted from grinding, you know, super hard at one point, and then, you know, it shifted to don't grind at all. And just, you know, and then, you know, for the most part, it was always a grind though. But like the whole concept of, you know, just whitelist in general just shriveled out, you know, because whitelist prices were, you know, as high as 0.2, you know, 0.3 at some point, and then over the months just kind of slowly, you know, died off. You know, they went from like point, you know, I think it was Squiggles was like 0.2 or 0.4 it was going to mint at, and then it was down to 0.1, and then obviously it was a rug or something. I think it was like a 0.4 mint, if I'm not tripping. But so anyways, and then the mints were going to like, you know, 0.08 on average, 0.07, 0.05, all the way down to the free mint meta, right? So like we literally just saw like a massive drop off in mints, and that I think it came from exhaustion, people grinding in those Discords invite contests and drawing arts, and it was like the same thing. It was either you got a whitelist spot from drawing a picture, making a meme, leveling up in a Discord, right? There is like no innovation, and we hit a roadblock in the space. And then all of those projects were, again, you join 100 Discords and maybe it fucking pumps for the first, like, so if you weren't greedy and you had to take a 2-3x, like, bro, everything was pumping at one point or another. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah,
like,
no matter what it was, yeah.
No matter what it was. Like, so, like, if you got a whitelist, like, that was the intent, was, like, I get why people were grinding them, because, like, yeah, you can make a quick bag, especially for the right project. But a lot of people, including myself, held those bags with the intent of falling into the, you know, the drug of FOMO and thinking, like, yo, this is the next big project. Not thinking maybe it's the next Bored Ape. And I'm not going to lie, a lot of beginner, new investors probably did, right, think that it was the next Bored Ape, right? Or had an opportunity to become some like multi-E floor project. But, and a lot of them probably did see, you know, amazing gains, but not, you know, if you're shooting shots in the dark here, you know, that's straight gambling, right? Like that's what we're talking about. But if you weren't greedy and you wanted to take your 2-3x off the table, like every time, for a moment in time, like there was like just a time where you could print doing that because every whitelist just equaled money. But yeah, I mean, after a while it got exhausting. These weren't profitable. People were grinding for no reason. So then you just wasted, you know, a week or two in a Discord, you know, fakely conversating with people, asking them about their day, questions you don't give a fuck about, right? Like doing a bunch of bullshit just to get a spot for something that you get rugged on. So now it's like, okay, the sentiment's changing even worse, because before you do all that bullshit and at least you'd make money, now you're doing all this bullshit and you're losing money. So people were having a really bad taste in their mouth, bro. And it's like, my example to this would be, if I meet you, bro, and I slap you in the face, and I just slap you in the face again, and I slap you in the face a third time, there's gonna be a point, bro, where you're gonna be like, what the fuck? And you're gonna hit me back. Like, exactly. I mean, if it's not the first slap, it's gonna be the third. You know what I mean? It's like, at one point or another, you're gonna be like, bro, fuck this. And like, either walk away completely, or like, you know, like, be like, fuck the space, because it's just like, I keep coming in and investing and I get fucked. So it's just like, you have a bad taste in your mouth. And then it's like a year later, your boy's like, yo, bro, invest in this NFT. you know, because it's going to do, and like he's trying to tell you about the roadmap that you invested in a year ago and got rugged on. It's like, you're going to feel like, fuck, you know what I mean? It's like, it's going to be hard to reconvince the people that got like serially fucked over in the bull market when a lot of people got, you know, made gains and whatever. And again, it's all about experience, but like, that's what's kind of like the shitty part about NFTs to an extent and why so many people don't fuck with them. A lot of people got fucked over, you know, and again, beginners, you know, beginners are going to get fucked over in every market, you know, like that's like retail gets fucked over in everything, but we got to keep in mind to an extent, like the space was so new, you know what I mean? Like a lot of us were retail. And I think a lot of like, it's like sort of like how it is with like sometimes with stocks and shit that go crazy. It's like, you know, you're going to get your retail traders that get lucky and fortunate that kind of make enough profit to scave through and then go, oh wait, I see the opportunity in doing this, right? And then maybe get a little more committed. And then you get the ones that tried and unfortunately had bad luck and then bounced, you know?
Real quick, I wanted to bring up a point you mentioned earlier. It kind of correlates to the fact that, you know, this entering the space just in general, it felt like it took a little bit more work than I feel like it was necessary. And I think it's one of those things that stops a lot of people from, you know, just jumping into the space and just trying to fucking be involved with it. But it was like, you know, like figuring out what the wallet was, what Ethereum was, like what fucking gas fees were and like all this other stuff. And then even then, you still have to do your own research. And to me, that entailed going on YouTube and just finding these content creators that were just in the NFT space. And they were like making YouTube videos about how to do this and how to do that. And that was basically, you know, it's YouTube University, but it was my way of teaching myself how to get into the space. But once you're in the space, it's kind of like a free-for-all, right? Like some people want to help you, some people don't want to help, like, right? Because they're trying to get that spot too. So it becomes like this fucking game of like, hey, I need to do this before they do so I can get that spot. But what I'm trying to get to is here is that the education part, like at least now there's a little bit more education that I see. But before, like, fuck, it was impossible to get any clear information from anybody. And again, that's at its peak, and that's where people are trying to get in because people really want to just invest into things once it's pumping. But when it's fucking dead, right? Like right now, people are scared to go in there when it's sometimes like the better time to do it.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, you got to buy the fear, sell the greed. And, you know, it's tough to invest in times like this. You know, it's obviously the hardest time to have conviction, especially if you're new, right? You're new to the market. There's no such thing in conviction in a dead market because you've never experienced that before. And it's hard to, you know, take a 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80% hit and then want to continue on. You know, if you've just, you know, it's your first bit of money you're invested, you know, it can get you a little scared. But that's why, you know, people say scared money, you know, doesn't make money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you obviously can't go into an investment being worried about that investment going to zero. Obviously, you know, as an investor, we don't invest money to lose it, but you also shouldn't invest money, you know, lose it and then be fearful of like, oh, I can't pay rent. I can't eat food, right? You need to invest money when you're ready to invest money. And I know everybody wants to invest money today, but it's okay, you know, if you have to wait next week, you know, because there's going to be opportunities next week. There's going to be opportunities next year, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and you're going to lose more money, you know, jumping the gun and not, you know, being patient and waiting for your opportunity. And, you know, I think people just, you know, again, they get tripped up because they're not comfortable with losing. And in order to win, you have to lose. And, you know, again, you know, I put out a tweet because like, you know, I saw this shit the other day. It's, you know, losers give up when they fail and winners fail until they succeed. And that's like the absolute fucking truth. Like, bro, like you'll never get to the true point of where you're trying to go without fucking up. Like, and that goes for like literally every single thing that I've done in my life. And I've done, you know, I have an e-commerce background before I even got into Web2. And, you know, I did six figures in profit, like not just revenue, and seven figures in revenue in e-commerce. And yeah, I think this is the same thing because there was a time where I was fucking doing $0 in revenue and going negative. I think it's just all about, you know, you have to have that mentality. And if you, you know, have that mentality, then you'll be successful in really anything that you do. And if you can apply that.
like, if you don't mind me asking, how did that start for you? Like, what was that moment that you were like, you know what, I have to, like, what built that drive, I guess?
I think for me personally, like, when you mean like for Web3 or
just in general, because I feel like you mentioned right now, you talked about your experience before Web3, but it feels like you already had that mentality to just continue being consistent and continue building, like, even before you jumped to Web3. So I feel like this is like a point in you, within you, that is just like, fuck it, I'm this type of person. When did you realize that?
I mean, I think, man, it's really important if you're going to be, you know, a leader in this space. You know, there's just certain characteristics that you want to have and you need to have, or else, you know, you're just not going to get far. And again, it's like, yeah, I wasn't always a leader, bro. And I think even as a leader, you're a student of the game. So like, all of the experience that I have comes from personal experience and through fucking up, you know, and through, you know, learning lessons and things of that nature. I mean, everything that I've fucked up on in short term, it sucks. And you look at it and you go, you know, damn, I wish I would have done this differently. But like, that's a good thing. You know, at least you know what you'll do differently next time. And, you know, I look at it from my perspective, like, I'm only 22, bro. Like, you know, I am a full grown adult. And I remember when I was like 15, 16, thinking, man, when I'm 22, like, fuck, if I don't have my shit together, like, that's it. But like, for where I am, I don't think I have like everything together. I'm not a multimillionaire yet. And like, I'd love to be, you know, in X, Y, and Z with like whatever, but I know where I will be eventually. And like, I'm doing all right for myself at my age. And ultimately, I think like 22 in the grand scheme of things is such a small figment to life, to where, yeah, if you really look at things in like a long-term perspective, you know what I mean? I think that's how I always have looked at it. And I'm okay and comfortable with knowing that, okay, I'm fucked up, all this stuff, but I've, you know, learned all this stuff, and I'm only 22. You know, I've managed to, you know, real quick to this point, because I'll say this and I'll forget about it, because I always rant and say this. I'm sorry for ranting, by the way.
No, go for it.
Shit all the fucking time. Like, bro, I've lost like over... I've made over six figures and lost over six figures, and I've lost and made more money than I used to make in a year. And that's how I always think of shit in perspective, because like, there was a time in my life where I'd make like $8,000 a year working 40 hours a week. So for me to like lose more money in multiples of years and sometimes even like a fucking day is like, for me, is like crazy. Okay. I'm like, holy shit. Like, I'm only 22 and like, yeah, it sucks. Like, yo, I fucked up on this, or I'm only 22 and holy shit, I just made this. Right. And it's like, okay, so for me, I'm learning honestly what a lot of people probably, you know, don't get to experience until a much deeper part of their life, or because they weren't willing to take X, Y, and Z risk. And so I'm comfortable with knowing, okay, fuck, you know, at the end of the day, even if like, you know, I didn't make this path that would have brought me, you know, here faster than, you know, what I would like to be, I know I'm still on path. And like, ultimately now it's like fucking, I don't know how to describe it, bro. It's like, I'm ultimately way better set off with all of these mistakes, because now I'm like, I will never make them again. And like, I'm almost like, I needed these mistakes, because these are mistakes that like would have happened in the future too, where if I was in a better position, I would have taken a worse L financially, because now I'm in a better position and I'm more comfortable, right? Like, in hindsight, like, this is what you'll need to realize. Like, in hindsight, like, I don't know what the lesson is. There was there's a quote that sat with me one time, but, you know, in hindsight, bro, like, everything, it seems bad, but it's actually like meant to be what it is for the way that it is. You know, like, sometimes things could be bad. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you walk out the house, you don't get shot today because fucking whatever, some bullshit. And then, you know what I mean? It was for a reason that you didn't walk out the house that day and didn't get shot. Or it's just, everything happens for a reason, to come back to the main emphasis of my point there. You know what I mean?
Hey, dude, no, it's so good. This is what I like. I like just to get an idea of the person that is on the other side of the mic. Because ultimately, again, that's all we have now. And I feel like there's one thing in, I guess, the culture now, at least from my perspective here in the U.S., there's not a lot of, there's a loss of community amongst, you know, in the physical world, at least from my perspective. Again, like, I feel like a lot of people don't connect a lot of the time. And then it's really rare when you do connect with other people on a much deeper level than your, you know, hey, good morning, how you doing, sir? Oh, I'm doing fine. You know, it's like the same, it's like a fucking equivalent of a Discord conversation. And it's real conversation has become really rare. And I like to fucking get people who are down for that, you know. But you made a really great point about the whole the risk assessment or risk management. And I feel like a lot of the times, like, you say you're 22, I'm 33, so I got 11 years on top, man. With that being said, like, I didn't really learn to start taking risk financially till about maybe 3 years ago, like in my 30s. And then at that point, there was a moment where I felt like, fuck, I should have learned this when I was younger, right? But then I see videos like, for sure, Gary Vee's fucking says shit that inspires me. Like, hey, you can be 40, you can be 50, and you can still do your shit. So now I've changed my perspective. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm only 33. It's what the hands that I'm dealt with. It's what came to my fucking life at this moment. So this is a moment, right, that at least to me feels like the right time. Like, I was supposed to be 33 to fucking learn, or 30 to learn this. That's how I'm trying to perceive it. And it's honestly helped me, because if it weren't for the NFT space, for like the whole crypto blockchain culture, I would have been fucking scared of just risking like fucking $500, $1,000, you know, a couple thousand dollars, and be like, hey, I'm going to fucking buy a JPEG and take a chance on this. And then using the knowledge, whether I took an L, whether I fucking, you know, won something, I took it as information, as knowledge for myself and confidence to be able to do things in the real world, you know, and I fucking go up to somebody and be like, hey, I want to fucking purchase this place or whatever it is, right? Investments overall require risk. And a lot of people are not comfortable with that. So fucking props that you learned that at such a young age. And the fact that you're fucking still striving to fucking better yourself and continue learning, dude, that's fucking awesome.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate it. Yeah, I think risk management is, I think it's hard, man. You know, it's not easy to do proper risk management, but it's not, you know, risk management and just, you know, managing emotions, and learning about, you know, just what all that means, especially, you know, hopping into a finance space. And that goes for, you know, stocks, real estate, you know, anything that you're going to invest your time, your money into is going to come with some sort of learning curve. So that way you can understand, you know, hey, I have to put in X amount to get, you know, Y back. And that involves X amount of level of risk. And I think with different, you know, different things come with different, you know, level of control. Like, do you have control in said risk, right? Do you throw your money in and have a say in what happens, right? Are you investing in an NFT project and not relying on the founder to post some tweets so your project goes good? Are you doing a real estate deal so you actually might have a say in the deal? And like, you know that you can, you know, fix up the house and, you know, it's more, you know, less risky versus, you know, blind risk, right? There's ways to also have that variable of control where maybe you are more comfortable putting $100,000 down because like it's $100,000 investment into something that you know how to do versus it's $100,000 investment into something you are new to do, right? Like, so there's also like that to consider, you know, like not everybody should blindly invest, you know, money, even if they have it, just because they have it, right? Like it's all about also taking the time to learn whatever that you are investing in. So that way that investment turns into a good investment.
Yeah, that's exactly it, man. And again, people just need to take the time because it's like before, right? Like there was these few fucking acronyms in the NFT space, like WAGMI or fucking, you know, what was the other one? LFG, let's fucking go. Like one of these other ones was fucking do your own research. Like, you know, so it's like, you gotta fucking do the research in anything, right? It's in whatever you're doing, you're still gonna have to take time to fucking educate yourself in. And then again, like you mentioned, if it is a different type of risk, because at this point, crypto is just fucking volatile as fuck. NFTs are as well. So it's those things that you have to just be really, really careful with. They're fun And I feel like the technology is just going to get even cooler in the next couple of years. But again, it's still the wild, wild west out here, but it's fun. And I think, again, just kind of wrap some stuff up here. I moved on from just being a fucking guy who was just minting projects into started becoming more involved in Web3. And by that, I mean, like, I started doing graphic design for fucking different groups and just kind of getting involved in the space and the culture without necessarily, in a sense, kind of risking as much money now. Now I can just kind of fall back on being like, hey, you guys need some designs or whatever. And they're like, yeah, you know, and they'll pay me in ETH, which is fucking cool. So, you know, that's another thing people can always look at too. You know, it's not always just about having to jump into the space to fucking flip or all that. You know, you can get involved with the communities to try to build something better and be more involved and get your name out there. So, you know, if people who have skills like that in art or whatever the fuck it is, you know, try to put your fucking feet in the water and just fucking, you know, slowly start building your own kind of portfolio in Web3.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, you know, that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it if you're trying to get involved. You know, Web3 is a very, very welcoming community. You know, so if you have skills, you know, whether you're a singer or a graphic artist or, you know, make content, video content, you know, there's a spot and there's a place for you. And there's a lot of untapped, you know, audiences, like content creators and things of that nature that, you know, the space could use more of. And the space is just, you know, the space is just a smaller version of what the general internet is, right? It's just a more condensed version. So I think the space, just because the internet needs more, you know, content creators and graphic artists, and there's never going to be, you know, an outage of that. It's always good to have people within the space that you can go to and, you know, directly know that are involved with the space, understand the community aspects of it. And, you know, that's what's good about it. You know, like, you'll have people of all avenues, you know, in every facet of life that, you know, are proficient and have skills and are probably in Web3 and in some community. And so I think it's also important, you know, again, you could find communities that have a lot more diversity and a lot more people with different skill sets. And, you know, if Eddie's a part of Mooncats, then you know that Mooncats has a graphic designer, you know, in it. And, you know, if Eddie's a part of, you know, Pudgy Penguins, then Pudgy Penguins has a graphic designer in it. And, you know, if Eddie's friend, who's a content creator, owns Pudgy Penguins, then, you know, like, there's also a content creator in it. And it's like, just the people in it is ultimately like what makes these networks and what makes these communities. And to have different people from different facets and with different skills and different networks is the point. And bringing them all together is why the great projects are what the great projects are, is because they have such diversity and so many people with different skill sets that, you know, step up to the table and, you know, have a voice in that community. So I think that's what Web3 is. And like, for everyone that's, you know, not a part of Web3 that wants to be a part of it and like get their toes wet, it's an opening and welcoming environment. And like, there's very few places that you'd feel like, you know, oh, I couldn't be here. I shouldn't be here. I think that's, you know, that would be a toxic environment, and those communities are very unlikely to be, you know, communities to survive in the months coming. It's the ones that have, you know, welcoming environments, care about their community, you know, good leadership and a vision for the project in general, that I believe are going to survive, if, you know, moving forward.
I agree. And it's my thank you, James. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. If people want to get more information about the projects you're involved with, or if they want to like say fucking hello to you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, they can just discord.gg/mooncats. They can hop in. The cat chat is open to everybody. Or you can shoot me a DM on my Twitter. So that's just my name, @JamesSeslick. It's hard to spell, so hopefully it's in the title. Makes it a little easier for you guys to find. But yeah, you guys can find me on Twitter, DM me. My Twitter DMs are open, my Discord DMs are open. Hop in the Mooncats Discord, say what's up. But Eddie, man, I appreciate you, bro. It was a great time being here. And we definitely gotta reconnect sometime. So hopefully this won't be our last one. But it was a great, sure, great chat.
No, likewise, dude. Thank you so much again for the time, man. And I'm just gonna throw something out there. Everybody needs to jump on Hoodie Game.
Hoodie Game. Get them in the Mooncats, man. Let's go. Onboard them.
Let's go. All right, man. Well, thank you again so much for taking the time. And then, like you mentioned, it's not for sure the last time we're going to be talking. We'll see you around in the chat, and enjoy the rest of your night.
Thank you, brother. You too. Have a good one.
Take it easy, dude. Peace.